From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 26th day of August, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett at agmarket.net. We'll take a look at the weather forecast, too, that with Mike Tenorum from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. We'll hear from a PhD student and researcher at the University of Illinois, Joanna Colucci, about a survey that she and Gary Schnuke are doing with both farmers in Brazil and the United States. And we'll also hear about some weedy concerns as it relates to climate change. Weeds tend to do better in hotter temperatures, and we'll do all of that right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn today at $5.52¾, up 1.5 cents. December at $5.50¾ on its settlement price, a penny lower for the day. March contracted $5.57¼, down 1.5 cents. And September soybeans gained at 21.5 cents today. They settled at $13.67½. The rest of the complex mostly lower on the afternoon. The November beans at $13.26¼, off 6.5 cents. January down 7 at $13.30¼. The bean meal up 4.20 at $3.36.50. The bean oil for the day 56 cents lower at $61.33. Hard red winter wheat December contract 13¾ higher at $7.39¼. And that's the soft red rather. And the hard red at $7.28¼, also up 13¼ cents for the afternoon. Live cattle futures in the nearby October at $129.60. That's 70 cents lower for the day. October feeders a buck lower at $168.27½, and lean hogs down 85 cents at $87.90 on the day. The crude oil futures at about $67.28 a barrel, $1.08 lower. Diesel fuel down 4 cents at $2.78, and gasoline on the RBOB off a nickel at $2.09¼ per gallon. Gold futures at $1,792.70. They're up $1.70 for the day, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average, 35,222, is down 138 points. The U.S. dollar is up 0.233 at 93.065. We're now joined by Matt Bennett at agmarket.net to take a look at what happened in Chicago. Matt, thank you for being with us on this Thursday afternoon. A little rainfall here. We had some earlier in the week. Are you still getting rain in Shelby County, Illinois?
Yeah, we're probably not getting quite as much as what everyone would hope for. We had a lot of noise overnight, but didn't have a whole lot to go with it. So I do know that some folks have had some fun stuff come along with that red on the screen, if you will. So I talked to a couple of producers there north of Galesburg that said they heard about some baseball-sized hail. So by all means, I really don't want that. So I don't know. We're not hurting terribly. But I think we had around 0.2 overnight, so hopefully we'll get a little bit of follow-up. It looks like there's some more chance today.
The northwestern part of the Corn Belt seems like it's about to and has been getting some more regular rainfall. Is that too little too late for them?
I don't know if it's too little too late for the beans. I mean, for corn, I think that it's probably too little too late. It's hard to think that you're going to see, I guess any sort of improvement that would be you'd be able to put your finger on. I think that a lot of places, especially in North Dakota, really, really struggle to have a good corn crop in some of the areas that producers that we work with are in. So I don't know. I think in South Dakota, a lot of those folks pretty good shape comparatively speaking to North Dakota. Now, I would say a lot of them got in the field a little early, fairly early this spring. It was a good spring for field work. And so bottom line is that corn's fairly far along. So, again, I don't think that it's going to impact it a whole lot. Whereas with soybeans, anybody's got beans, we all know that beans can be have one foot in the grave and one on the banana peel. And still, if you get a couple of well-timed inches of rain, you can bring that bean crop back to life pretty quick.
Speaking of beans, what happened in the September contract today that it managed to gain while the rest of the new crop was lower?
Well, you know, we heard about a lot of commercial interest, I guess, is what we've heard. The thing to me that's been very interesting. Today, you saw the front month September. Yesterday, I don't know if anybody noticed, but the leader of the pack for both corn and beans was, your Nove 22 and your Deese 22. So we've had some very interesting things going on with these markets. I think that, there's a lot of angst that actually these carryouts might be even tighter than what people thought they were going to be. Is there some interest in ownership? I mean, you're not going to have ownership for very long. We all know that. But at the same time, I think a person has to pay close attention to how tight the situation is. Interestingly, I think that relatively speaking, the tightness in corn as far as old crop market is a heck of a lot tighter than what you're seeing for soybeans. Yes, we all know that beans are fairly tight. There's not a whole lot of them around the countryside, but I think there's a lot of people still would like to own corn, and they're kind of hoping they can limp into harvest. But I'll tell you what, we've heard some incredible pushes here over the last two or three days. So very interesting things going on in the cash market, and certainly some of that spilling over into the onto the screen.
How do you think this will play out for basis as we actually get into real harvest as opposed to just early harvest for corn?
Well, I think that you could see some of these folks that are bidding $1.50 over, once they start getting some corn, they could go back to option or maybe a quarter above the mark. I don't think that anybody should make any assumptions whatsoever that this really strong basis is going to be here to stay. We all know that once harvest shows up, basis is typically a little weaker. Now, this is a different year, extremely tight year, and I don't know how many systems we've talked to that basically are devoid of corn. And so until we get the pump primed, I've got to think the basis will stay relatively speaking fairly good. But, you've got some incredible basis moves going on right now. There's a couple of customers we talked to in Indiana that actually were hauling $7 plus corn in, and it's all a function of what's going on in their particular area. So once your area gets to harvesting, there's no question that basis is going to be drastically different, and I think producers need to pay very close attention to that.
What does the market for corn tell you about storage and whether producers should put it in a bin or not?
Good question. I would say whenever it comes to storage, I guess my personal opinion, I'm not a huge fan of going out and paying commercial storage most of the time. But last year, those that paid commercial storage, handsomely rewarded, obviously. I think this year, a lot of folks have sold a decent amount of corn. I think that, we've had so many opportunities and so much time to do so. I think the bushels that I don't have sold ahead of time, if I can store them at home, I'm pretty excited to do so. I think that there will be some opportunities later on. This old crop carryout seems much tighter than even what the USDA is saying right now. So that tells me that new crop could be fairly snug as well, even if we see a bump in yield. I do expect that we'll see a bit of a bump in yield, but I think the demand could increase as well. So I think that you're looking at a very tight situation in the U.S., even into the new crop, and I think that it's going to be here for several months to come.
I'd like to turn your attention to next week. Farm Progress Show takes place in Decatur, and I see that the whole of the agmarket.net team is going to be on site, and you'll be dropping by the U of I tent. We'll be talking a little bit as well. I bet you're looking forward to checking in with folks over in Decatur.
Oh, yeah. So, I'll be at Case IH presenting 9 a.m. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Going to be checking in with you, and then I'll have my team, including Betsy Gibbon, who's our newest addition. And Betsy Gibbon will be on site on Tuesday. She's actually going to kind of introduce me whenever we speak at Case IH. And she'll be around for the whole day talking to producers, interviewing a few people. So anybody who wants to kind of catch up with her or anybody on our team, we're definitely going to be all on site on Tuesday, and then I'll be there all week.
Yeah, so that means you, Bill Biederman, Brian Split, and of course Jim McCormick, along with Betsy Gibbon, will all be there. It'll be great, and you'll be at the Case IH tent. You'll be down with us at the University of Illinois tent too. Thank you for doing that, by the way, and thanks for doing the show today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Matt Bennett is with AgMarket.net, and he's one of many folks that will be on site at the Farm Progress Show next week in Decatur, Illinois. We sure hope you can visit us in the University of Illinois tent. That's just to the right of the main gate. It's at the corner of 3rd and Progress Street I'll be there all day long interviewing the folks from the University of Illinois along with the regulars here on WILLAG.org. And we'll bring you the closing market report from the Farm Progress Show on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Actually, Monday as well, as that'll be setup day next week. Looking forward to that and hope you'll tune in if you can and drop by and see us if you can at the Farm Progress Show in Decatur. Speaking of tuning in this afternoon, don't forget that we'll record our Commodity Week program. Our panelists this week will include Alan Dearden, along with Elaine Cubb, Alan Brugler, and Sherman Newland. You can find it online today at willag.org after 6 o'clock this evening. As the planet has warmed, weed populations have become more troublesome. Weeds in field crops often withstand drought better than the domesticated plants. USDA ARS ecologist Marty Williams has been considering what this means for weed control in the future. And the crop scientist, based at the University of Illinois, talked about it with those attending last week's Agronomy Day on the Urbana-Champaign campus.
Presentation for Agronomy Day was looking at the impact of climate change on weed management and some research we've done to explore the impact of more variable weather on how we manage weeds in corn and soybean.
How did you begin that research?
Well, we began that research by utilizing a unique data set that was right under our noses, right here with the herbicide evaluation program at the department, that has archived herbicide trials that are digitized back to 1992 that gave us an insight with over 3,000 individual trials and over 50,000 observations that actually capture a really nice range of weather variability and how weeds are currently managed.
Any takeaways?
Yeah, so the key takeaways are that the future conditions we have going forward don't bode the best for how we're currently managing weeds. One is that our pre-emergence herbicides are threatened by the more variable weather that we are expected to have. The second issue we have is that most of the yield predictions of crops into the future don't account for weeds. And when we account for the impact that weeds have on crop losses, some of the biggest losses we have in crop yield are due to the incomplete weed control coupled with drier and hotter conditions than we currently have. Exactly the kinds of weather we expect to have in mid to late summer in the future.
This is something that farmers over the past 25 years may have begun to forget about simply because they haven't had as many weeds to deal with, but loss of yield from weeds can be substantial.
Absolutely, and it's becoming harder and harder to control weeds, right? Herbicide resistance just continues to challenge our weed management systems, and based on what we've seen with a commonly used foundational program with pre-emergence herbicides, we're likely not to be able to expect more out of them either.
Anything going forward that you've thought about, discussed with your colleagues as to what can be done to mitigate this issue?
Well, we're going to study it more. The data set that we have at Illinois is not unique. Most land-grant universities have a similar data set. So right now we're developing a team of collaborators throughout the Corn Belt and beyond to have greater representation of the types of soils, of the weather variability, of the crop management tactics, to build our inference base so we have a more, even more a robust way to study this.
That was ecologist and crop scientist Marty Williams talking about the research he's doing at the University of Illinois for USDA ARS. Researchers at the University of Illinois have been working to discover the differences in how farmers in the United States and Brazil learn about new stuff to use on the farm, particularly digital technologies. Those involved in agriculture generally believe information is essential to the adoption of new technology, digital and otherwise. However, there is no common understanding of which are the most efficient communication channels to influence, for instance, soybean farmers' decision-making. That's what Gary Schnitke and Joanna Colucci have set about finding. The two are surveying farmers in the United States and Brazil to sift out some of the answers. Colucci says the survey of Brazilian farmers has already been completed.
So far, you got almost 500 respondents in Brazil in the top five producing states. Mato Grosso, Paraná, Rio Grande do Sul, Goiás, and Mato Grosso do Sul. Now you need to do the same here in the U.S. in the five most important states when you talk about soybean: Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, and Nebraska.
Now, Colucci says the results of the survey carried out in Brazil show that among the respondents, 65.7% answered said the pandemic made them more willing to adopt digital technologies. One of the early findings from the survey in Brazil is that farmers there use different communications channels than soybean farmers in the United States. Most of the respondents used WhatsApp, for instance, to take the survey. That won't be the case in the U.S. and certainly isn't the focus of the survey, says Colucci. However, the survey is about how farmers learn and accept new digital technologies for use on the farm.
You divide the communication channels in three kinds of the communication channels. For example, mass media, newspaper, magazines, radio, television, website, social media, YouTube, Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and interpersonal meetings like a field days, conference, peer groups, conversation with neighbors. So in summary, our intention is to do a correlation between the use of digital technologies and the influence of communication channels.
Farmers in Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Indiana, and Nebraska, the top five soybean-producing states in the United States, are being asked to fill out an online survey. It takes 5 to 8 minutes to complete, and responses are confidential. You can look for the survey online at go.illinois.edu/farmdocsurvey. Again, that's go.illinois.edu/farmdocsurvey. After completing the data collection in the U.S., it will be possible to compare the data from both countries. The results will show how soybean producers in Brazil and the U.S. consider and adopt new precision and digital agricultural technologies, and how communication channels influence their decision-making. For Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You know, next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I'll be on site at the Farm Progress Show in Decatur, and I sure hope that you'll stop by and visit me at the University of Illinois Tent. It's at the corner of Progress and 3rd Street. If you come in the main gate, just hang a right, about a block and a half, and you'll find the U of I tent. During the day, we'll be talking to some interesting folks, both from WILL, the brokers and commentators, along with the agricultural economist, crop scientist, and animal scientist from the U of I. You can find us right there in the tent all day long, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at the Farm Progress Show in Decatur. We sure hope that you visit us, and be sure to drop by the U of I tent when you're on the site. Mike Tenura now joins us from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, thanks for being with us today. It looks like there may be some rainfall across the Corn Belt. Can you tell me about it and the warm conditions we'll be in over the next several days, too?
Well, we do have a lot of rain that's taking place today in parts of the northern Corn Belt. This is largely because it's so warm off to the south that it's pretty easy for thunderstorm clusters to form on the northern edge of heat. And that's what we're seeing today in parts of the Dakotas, Minnesota, and Iowa, which is the area that we've been concerned about for dryness throughout the entire growing season. So they're getting some good rains today. They'll probably see some more rain tonight and into tomorrow as well, especially in Minnesota and Iowa, as another wave of energy rides this edge of heat. And that's kind of the situation that we're going to stick with all the way through the weekend, with some thunderstorms here and there. Now, the southern Corn Belt is going to stay very warm, and it's interesting to think about this, but the Corn Belt is actually going to end up with one of its warmest Augusts on record, and that's the seven-state region essentially surrounding Illinois. That's largely because we never saw a cool-off over this last week of the month, because it's going to stay pretty warm going forward. And that's all we needed to take what was a pretty warm month and then shift it into some of the warmer on record. We'll probably end up as the warmest since 2007 or 2010, and that would rank us right around number 15 warmest of the last 126 years. But the reason that we're seeing the rain is because of that warm weather, and so you kind of get the good with the bad. On the good side, we're getting rain for some of these dry soybeans. On the bad side, we're speeding up corn maturation, and typically corn likes it the best at this time of the year when it's staying nice and cool, and we lengthen that growing season out. So we're kind of seeing a little bit of a mixed bag. Once we get into next week, it does stay warm, as we already talked about, but we also have to deal with a hurricane. A hurricane is going to develop in the Gulf of Mexico over the course of the weekend, and it will more than likely make landfall somewhere in Louisiana or Texas on Sunday or Monday. Now, once we get beyond that, it's difficult to say exactly where it's going to go. It's always hard to figure out where a hurricane is going to go, even 1 or 2 days in advance, much less 5 to 10 days in advance. But based on everything we're looking at, there's a fairly decent probability for that system to eventually curve into the Mid-South and then possibly affect parts of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio next week. So we're going to see more rain, at least in southern growing areas, next week from that system. And we didn't even talk about a couple of cool fronts that are going to move through later next week as well, and that will also produce more rain. So for soybeans, this situation is better than it has been, in that we're seeing late rains and we're expecting late rains to continue. Whether or not they came on time or not, we'll have to wait and see. And we also need the forecast to verify, of course. But at this point in time, it looks like most areas are going to see some decent rainfall over the next 5 to 10 days.
Given that, I know a lot depends on the route that this hurricane might take. What do you think next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday will look like for the Farm Progress Show in Decatur, Illinois?
Well, I'd have to guess that you're going to see some rain. Maybe not a washout, depending on exactly how that system moves. But typically, getting as far north as Decatur is historically unlikely from a hurricane standpoint, because typically they'll dissipate to the south and then maybe scrape by parts of Illinois. But the bigger reason you might see some rain next week in Decatur will primarily be because prior to the arrival of the remnant of that hurricane, no matter where it goes, a cool front is going to move through and dissipate somewhere across Illinois Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. And we'll see a few thunderstorms here and there along that. But it all comes down to the path of that system. Because if that system were to somehow curve a little bit further north, then of course we're going to see a pretty big rain in Illinois. But let's pretend it takes a different course and ends up nearer Houston, Texas, or maybe even further to the west near Corpus Christi. Well, at that point, the system is so far away from Illinois that even if it does eventually bring us rain, it would be beyond next Thursday. So at this point, I think, Todd, the best way to plan for it is plan on some rain, but don't plan on a washout.
What we'll plan on are paved streets at the Decatur Farm Progress Show Sunday. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, great being here, Todd. And good luck. Hopefully you stay dry next week.
Yeah, I think we'll probably be fine either way, and people will come out and enjoy the Farm Progress Show. That, of course, is Mike Tenura. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago and joined us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.